God bless you, saints. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we're so grateful to be able to gather together around your word. And I pray, Lord, as we look into your word and study these things out, Lord, that you'll quicken it to us, Lord. And help us, Lord, that our hearts will be prepared, Lord, for the word that we receive today. I pray, God, that you'll just be with Brother Wade as he's studying, Lord Jesus. Grant it, Lord, that you'll bless our services today in your name. Amen. Now, we've been studying out Hebrews 11, which is just a summation of all of the great things that God has done in people's lives that should build our faith to realize that if you believe, that anything's possible. And it starts off, it says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And Brother Bram would explain that faith is a revelation. That means that faith, when God speaks something to you, it goes beyond anything that you can see or feel with your natural senses. It trumps any kind of circumstance, because faith is tied to God. It's something eternal. When you go beyond hope to a living reality of the God speaking to something to you. Now we're talking this morning about faith. Faith is, because faith is a revelation, it goes with anything. If you've got faith, if God reveals to you the correct way to be baptized, that God is not three different people, then you really have a real revelation of that. It's a substance to you. It's something that nobody's going to take away from you because of their reason or anything. And it's not based upon the man's ideas or something, but it's based upon God's word. So all of our faith is based upon God's word, then everything in a Christian's life, everything in the economy of God centers around the word. That's why we come to church, is because we want word. We want the word. We want to get fed, because that's where we get our faith from. Faith is built upon the word. It comes from hearing the word. So the whole system of God is based around the word. So what are you craving this morning? You want some word. Somebody was coming in the door, and we were standing at the door, and I forget who it was, but they said, feed us this morning. Because we want, that's what a Christian wants. Why? Because that's where you get your faith from. Faith, and the more word you hear, the more word that you receive, the more faith you get. If you really open the door of your heart and you allow God to come in and quicken that to you, it produces something that is a substance, that is the evidence of things not seen. Now, we've got, and Paul goes through the summary of all these great heroes of the faith, that they subdued kingdoms, and we read this last time, so I'll maybe just kind of go quickly over this slide. But you look at this, and I think that should just build our confidence, that if these individuals did these things by their confidence in God's word, then what should we be able to do by confidence in God's word? See, as you hear the word, it actually produces a confidence in you, where you start to trust God and you start to know God and you start to have confidence in that if he said it, he's going to bring it to pass. And your faith begins to rise, and it's rising. That's what the stature of a perfect man is about. That's what the third pull, the opening of the word, was to do, is to build your faith, that God would tear off the seals of the whole Bible so that you could have faith to believe that anything is possible. To believe for a body change. So Brother Ram said, "And faith cometh by hearing." He said, God will look right down in your heart and see that promise. Faith in the promise. That's kind of what we're talking about. Because when you look in the Bible, it's a lot of promises. So if you can believe that God made the promise and he's going to bring it to pass, then diseases will melt back from side to side. Cripples will walk. Blind will see. Deaf will hear. Dumb will speak. Why? They have taken God at his word. Now, there's a challenge for us this morning. Can we just take God at his word? If God said it, he's the one that made the promise. And Brother Ram said, in the power of God, he said, what is it? A revelation. What is faith? Is God, by the Spirit, revealing to you something that he's going to do or he's promised? And that should give us confidence this morning, that if God's really revealed something to you, how to be baptized, who God is, all these different things that we know. If God's really revealed it to you, then it wasn't something that a man taught to you. It's taught in your mind at first, but when God reveals it to you, it comes from God. I think sometimes we in Ephesians 4:11-12 says that God gave five gifts into the church, apostles, prophets, and so forth, for the perfecting of the saints. That's for your perfecting. But the perfecting, Brother Branham would say, comes between you and God. And see, if we can get that really honed down so that we're explaining it right. When you're perfected, it's a relationship between you and God that's God doing to you personally. That's something that the minister won't do for you. The minister gives you the word, but it's up to you to believe it. When you believe it, then now there's a relationship between you and God. God is the one that's giving you the revelation. And he said, now if you only hear, faith cometh by hearing, but hearing is not faith. A loaf of bread is purchased for 25 cents, but 25 cents is not the loaf of bread. See, hearing only brings the word that produces faith. But faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Then you see, you hear the word, God reveals it to you, that it is the truth. And by spirit revealed truth confirms your faith to God. Then that's the church that God built upon the rock, that the gates of hell can't prevail against it. That's a promise too, that the gates of hell cannot prevail against a revelation. Because if you got a revelation, it's eternal. It's substance. It's something that the devil can't attack. The devil can't take it from you. In perfect faith, when he was talking about Peter walking on the water, he said, Peter, he was doing all right till he got scared. The word told him he could walk on the water. That's how a lot of us do. We look in the Bible and it says you can be healed. It says you can do whatever. It said that Peter could walk on the water. He was scared first. He thought it was a ghost. And he said, Lord, if it be you, bid me come to you on the water. What he feared happened. What he believed happened. Now, look at that. What you fear will happen. What you believe will happen. So let's not fear. Let's not be afraid. And we don't have any reason to fear when we've got God's promises that we can look at. If God said it, we don't have to be afraid. When he believed he could walk, he walked. When he believed, he got scared in his belief, then his substance left him. He still professed his faith, but he didn't have the substance. The substance went over, right over top of that white cap and went right on to him, see, if he has the perfect faith, see, but he didn't have it. He thought he did. He did it first. He was willing to venture out. Wow, the Lord told me to do it. It's got to happen. So he just steps right down out of the boat and takes off. He never thought about the waves, how contrary they was. He never got that in his mind. And a second-handed robe, he said, you don't look at the symptoms. You look at the promise. Symptoms are one of the greatest hindrance God has to work with, his symptoms. You don't never go by your feelings. Jesus never did say, did you feel it? He said, did you believe it? See where you get the thing all turned around? It's your faith in his promise that does it. Like Elisha, he wanted the promise. And if Elijah said he could have it, if he kept his eye on him, he kept his eye on him. You remember that story of Elijah, how he followed Elijah through three stages. And I don't know if I can remember the school of the prophets, then the next phase and on over to the River Jordan, the death. And he followed him through three stages, just like David went through three stages and Abraham went through three stages. And you're going to go through three stages. And he kept his eye on the prophet who he knew was going to take him through three stages until he saw the word come to pass, because he was looking at the promise. Now, see, you and I are not looking at, we're looking at the promise of God that God made. That's why even when we listen to Brother Branham, we're not even listening to the words of a man. I'm going to quote this. This is one of my favorite quotes. When Brother Branham was preaching and looking to the unseen, God just took him over and began to speak through his lips. And he said, if you go back to that message, you can hear him say this. He said, I'm the Lord that raised up. I'm talking about the promise. That's where we have our confidence is in the promise that God made. He said, I'm the Lord that raised up Christ from the grave. I'm the one that sent the Holy Ghost. I'm the one that gave the promise. Brother Branham has nothing to do in this. He surrendered his life to me. I'm using his spirit. I'm talking through his lips. That's me. I'm the Lord. So we have confidence in not the words of a man, but we have confidence that God is the one that spoke it. God is the one that gave us this message. God is the one that gave us the word. And you see, that's what will build our faith up. Faith in what God said. Brother Brown said, in the power of God, he said, what is it? A revelation. What is faith? Is God by the Spirit revealing to you something that he's going to do or he's promised. Now, if you only hear, faith cometh by hearing, but hearing is not faith. A loaf. Oh, I already read that quote. Oops. In the stature of a perfect man, he said, first has got to be faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You already have it when you have faith, because it's revealed in faith. Hebrews 11, see the evidence. What is it? What kind of an evidence? A holy evidence. Therefore, when you say, Brother Branham, I believe that God is a healer. Well, if you believe that and then accept him as your healer and not lying, but actually believing that by his stripes you are healed, there's nothing going to turn you from it. It's a settled thing. Now, you might have hope, just keep dodging to this and dodging to that. But when you got faith, you know it because it is the evidence. You've already got it. Now, a lot of times we'll get real emotional. Like when we're reading through all these stories in Hebrews 11, there's a lot of places where somebody can get real emotional. Like, for example, Abraham, when God told him to go take his son to the top of the mountain, he could have got real emotional and said, well, it's my son, and got real emotional, and then it just wouldn't have worked. He'd come down and say, maybe explain to his wife or some his church folks, well, it was my son, and I, you know, how could God expect me to do that? But, you see, we got to take everything back to the Word. Our emotion doesn't matter. Our fear doesn't matter. You got to take everything back to the Word because that's what we're basing our confidence in. Brother Bram said, and faith is once delivered to the saints. He said, this brother prayed for me, and this one cast the devil out, and this one that, and the other. He said, mental emotions can do that. But when that real, genuine faith that God spoke the truth, it's settled in the person's heart, it's eternal. Feeling has nothing to do with it no more. God said so. Then that faith is stable. No matter what takes place, how you feel, whether you get sick or whether you do or not, that has nothing to do with it. It's that faith that was once delivered to the saints that they believe. Oh, there's so many times where, like you think about Rahab, she could have got real emotional and said, well, how could somebody expect me to just have confidence in a little scarlet ribbon that I hang out my window? But emotion has no place. In the seal of the Antichrist, he said, upon emotions, you can't rely upon that. Although that's right, that goes with it. You got to get the real thing first. I've seen people stand, throw themselves back and forth, and work themselves into a panic, screaming to the top of their voice, and walk through pits of fire without even touching it, and deny there was such a thing as Jesus Christ. So that doesn't mean anything. I've seen them such frantic, hollering, Allah, 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 until they take a lance and run it up through their chin and nose like this and pull it out. Wouldn't even be a drop of blood come out. Certainly. Cut themselves in the flesh of the prophets in the feast of the prophets when they're cutting the leaves. The young lady sitting there cutting leaves and the man laid his arm out and take a saber and whack his arms like that. Wouldn't even bleed. In such a frantic, you get what I mean? And see, I got a picture of something I got off the internet of somebody actually walking through coals of fire. And so you can get real emotion on the outside, but now on the inside, there's nothing, there's no substance. And that's why the evidence is faith. Faith will produce an emotion. Faith will produce a reaction. But look down on the inside. Do you really believe? Because that's, and how are you going to really believe without the Word? That's why what we want this morning is the Word, because the Word received in a heart, in that good ground that Jesus talked about, it's if the Word is planted in the good ground of your heart, it's going to produce. Then we get all feared. And Brother Bram said, it's the scare that burns you. You got the Holy Ghost that's operating in your body. Well, when that old snake grabbed a hold of Paul's hand, there was not a bit of scare. He looked at it like that, shook it off in the fire, and went on and got some more sticks. It didn't scare him. See, if you're not scared, Jesus said, well, why did you fear? Peter come walking on the water doing fine until he seen the waves were contrary. Then he got scared and began to sink. Jesus come, picked him up, said, why did you fear, O ye of little faith? Fear, you're scared, it won't happen. Don't have one bit of fear. Move forward. God said so. That settles it. Now, we're saying all, don't be emotional. Don't get caught up in emotion. Don't use fear. Don't be afraid. But you know, really, what's going to take all that away? What takes the fear away is the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God is what settles everything. So as you're receiving the Word, you have confidence in the Word and it begins to take the fear away. Sometimes we come to church and we just want to work it up. I'm not going to be afraid, but you can't work it up in yourself. How are you going to not be afraid? The Word of God received into your heart is what takes the fear away. In Luke chapter 1, you know, when the angel gave Zechariah a promise that he was going to have a son, John the Baptist, and that he didn't believe, so his mouth was shut up. When his mouth was finally opened right at the near the birth of John, he began to prophesy. And this is what he said. This is part of what he said. he began to speak about the promise that God had given. And he said, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. That's a promise that we've got. That's why God sent Jesus Christ on the earth to die for us, so that he could give us back the Holy Ghost, that you would have a revelation of who he really was, and it would take the fear away, and holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. So when we have faith, real faith, it gets rid of the fear. Real faith is substance, where there's no, it's not based on emotion. It's not based on because you jumped around or ran up and down and screamed, but there's something down on the inside that's confidence in what God said, that God said it, so I know that God is able to perform it. If God said I can be healed, God is faithful to produce that. If God said that somebody can get the Holy Ghost, I'm going to get it. And that's where you start having faith, faith in God's word. So in the Bible, it says, where Paul's speaking, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. If you want to make God happy, that's the only way to make God happy, really. That's the only way to get a good report, is to believe what he said, to have faith in what he said. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which were seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, see, Paul's setting the stage for all these examples, these faith examples. And he's starting off with saying, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. The word of God is so powerful that it could set the sun and the moon and the stars and all those things that the James Webb telescope is unfolding. All those things are hung in the heavens by the word of God. So if the word of God can control the heavens, what about your life? If the word of God is powerful enough to control the heavens, to set the heavens in order, and then what about the problem in your family? What about the problems in all the circumstances in your life? If you have faith in the word of God, that is able to set the worlds in order, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And the door of the heart, Brother Ram said, I found a picture once that was, let me go back to this. This Hebrews 11 is about it's the hall of faith. It's looking at all these examples of people that believed and the impossible was accomplished in their life. So Brother Ram said, in the door of the heart, he said, I found a picture once that was striking. Just can't think of the artist who painted the picture, but it was of Christ knocking at the door. And while he was knocking at the door, he said, all famous pictures first has to go through what's called the Hall of Critics before it can go to the Hall of Fame. That's a beautiful thought. Did you know all great things has to pass through the critics? God's blessed church has to go through the critics and stand the criticism before it can be took to the Hall of God's immortal fame. And the scripture says, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. So if you're not persecuted for righteousness' sake, not something you brought on yourself, but for righteousness' sake, there's something wrong somewhere. Now, why is that? Everybody's got to be examined. Your doctrine's got to be examined. Your faith has got to be examined. You're going to have to go through situations in life just like these in Hebrews 11, because your faith has got to be proved out. And God will set you through circumstances and things to test you and prove you, just like Abraham and David and every other one of these, Rahab, to see, to prove, do you believe? And so if that's the case for these people that we're going to read about, and that's the case for us, I want to set in my mind to believe God's word, because I want to be found faithful when the test comes. He said every famous picture must first go through the Hall of Critics before it can be hung in a Hall of Fame. And I tell you, that's what the church has done today. It's went through the critics. But one of these mornings, God's going to hang her in a Hall of Fame out here, just as sure as the world. That same church is going to be called up one of these mornings, hung in the Hall of Fame as she cuts through the air yonder. And doors and door, he said, see, it's like the church has to pass through the Hall of Critics. You're going to be called Holy Roller. You're going to be called everything. But if you could only hold your position in Christ, then someday he'll take us to the Hall of Fame. But first, we've got to stand criticism. There is where the littleness of us stand. There is where it shows. He that cannot stand chastisement is an illegitimate child and not a child of God. No matter how much he's joined church and whatever he's done, he is still, if he cannot stand chastisement, he's an illegitimate and he's not a real child of God. But a real, genuine child of God don't care what the world says. Everything else is secondary. He's got his mind on Christ, and that settles it. Now, see, that goes back to Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance, and if faith is based on the Word, that's all a believer cares about. Not emotion, not fear, not all those other things, not what the world cares about, not what the critics say about you at work or school. You care about the Word. You care about pleasing God because it's the only thing that matters to you. Look, he said, whatever Christ says, do. He'll do it. Wherever the Lamb goes, they're with him, wherever. And then you see his appearing, his presence, and what he does. He is always with his people, his bride, his courtier. And the revelation of Jesus Christ, he said, we get in, it'll dig up the lives of those great men back there, how they sacrificed. You'll see how little you've done. Makes me feel ashamed of myself sometimes, how we have to have everything so easy. And they had everything so hard. Wandered about, Paul said in Hebrews 11, in sheepskins and goatskins, tormented and afflicted, destitute. What will our testimony stand up beside of theirs? How will it be up beside of that? And we have to have everything so nice. So by faith, Abel offered unto Abel a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he being dead yet speaketh. Faith, Abel had such a substance faith that he was willing to forsake everything to do what God said. He knew what it was that he had to offer up a lamb, that it was blood. It wasn't something that he was taught or that he was educated into, but it was something real to him that he knew the problem. And Brother Ram said in the ministry explained, he said, when Solomon's gift was recognized among the people that he was a gifted man, that God was with Solomon, everybody come from everywhere to see Solomon because he had a divine gift that was in operation. And it proved itself. The Bible said God will testify of his gifts. He always has. He always will. There might be a lot of things said that wasn't right, but God will testify of his gifts. You don't believe the Holy Spirit is a gift of God? Let it come on you one time. God will testify of his gifts. God will testify of somebody that's got a real revelation. It's going to bear forth fruit. It's going to manifest itself. And then it says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. It was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And we're going to end on this. But you think about what Brother Bram said, that at the end of the road, Enoch turned back and he said, I've done everything that you require me to do. And everything that God required him to do, he did by faith. And you think about that. You can look back through your life and say that I've done everything. When you come to the end of the journey, if you truly have, and you can say that you asked me to go down into the water and be baptized, and I did it by faith. You told me I needed to be born again, and I did it by faith. You told me I needed to grow up in the stature of a perfect man, and I read and I understood the quotes, and the word was revealed to me, and I did it by faith. And you can say, well, like Enoch could look back in his life, I've done everything that you required of me. When you can say that the word has been opened up and we're adopted, and you know, whether or not that's true in your life, it's got to be true to somebody. Somebody's got to look back and say, I've done everything that you required. We've eaten the body word of Christ, and we've eaten it until we've come to a faith. And by faith, that's the only way that you can please God is by faith in his word. His word is what is transforming us. His word is what is giving us power. His word is giving us overcoming power against the devil. And if you come to God, you've got to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that trust in his word and trust in his word and believe in his word, because his faith is trusting what God said. And we'll stop right there. Thank you.